Happy Sabbath, everyone. Glad to have everyone here. I see we have several families, guests being here with us, and we're very happy to have you here. If you hear my voice, sounds a little bit different. I can hardly hear myself today, but I'm doing much better than I was on Wednesday night. So we'll jump right into the message for today. Defeating Revelation's Dragon, and I've entitled it, How to Defeat Revelation's Dragon, right? So talked about snowflakes, giant snowflakes. Now we're going to talk about dragons. This is the church where you get to hear about big things. A little church that talks about big things. So let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, lead us into this sermon for today, and may your word shine through in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I start with something disturbing today?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I always do anyway. So why break it? No. Did you see the video of Kareem Hunt? You NFL aficionados.
Yeah.
Huge guy. Well, he's not really huge. He's a running back, but he's an athlete. Muscular man. Pushing a woman down and kicking her. You know, then I heard that this thing actually happened in February. And like everything else, we realized that people don't really take domestic violence seriously unless you see a video. You know, if there isn't a video, it never happened. You know, it just never happened. And so the moment the video came out, took the NFL 5 hours and the Chiefs 5 hours to decide he can't play anymore because we take domestic violence seriously. Now, you would think that that would only happen in the sports world, but I know that this happens even among Christians, that people think that violence is a way to solve problems. And if you really look at it, the Bible says the closer we get to the end of time, you will actually get to a point where people who kill you think that they're doing God's will. All right. So if it sounds crazy to you, that's the world we live in, where people believe faith gives me the right to force you to worship God. Yeah, no. I know we struggle to find out how do we raise our children according to the proper ways of the Lord. You know, I have a 3-year-old, and today my daughter is 5, so I have a 3- and a 5-year-old, and it's very difficult to get them to do things when they've learned that magical word. You know the word, right?
No.
Go to sleep. No. And you try all the tricks in psychology and you try reverse psychology. It doesn't work. And you want to sleep and you're frustrated. Maybe I'm pouring out a little bit of my heart today. And you're so much bigger than they are. Amen. Right? That you think, man, I could put you to sleep, couldn't I? And you have to learn how to resist that temptation. Turn to your neighbor and say, resist the temptation. Nobody's saying it to them. Yeah, nobody. Resist the temptation. Let me speak to myself. Resist the temptation. Not because you're big means you should use your size against other people who are smaller. It happens in politics. You know, people have power. Pastors with their churches, whatever, you know, people who have power find it very difficult to hear no, you know, but no is a good word. No is a great word. So here we have in Revelations, we find a very interesting scenario. We find a character who is referred throughout the book of Revelation as a dragon. And most people are afraid of reading the book of Revelation because of this character. Anybody ever thought, I could read Revelation at night, but why bother? That's just going to scare me. I hear about some horrible creatures in there, and this dragon is the center of it all. Well, I have some good news for you. The word about the dragon is really restricted to Revelation chapter 12 and 13. That's mainly where you see this dragon showing up. He shows up again in chapter 15 once. And then in chapter 20, I believe, we see the defeat, the final demise of the dragon. He's not the main character of Revelation. Amen? He just isn't. He's there, but that's not the main focus. And yet, he seems to push around his weight, this dragon. Revelation chapter 12 starts out with a beautiful picture of a woman. And I know most of us profess to respect and love women. Amen? Our mothers are women. No, I should, no? Wrong planet? Am I talking to the wrong planet? I'm on the right planet. Our mothers are women. We have sisters who are women. No, talking from a man's perspective. And we have lovers who are women. Can I talk about love in church? Amen. Yes, we love and revere women. And the way this woman is described in Revelation chapter 1, 12 verse 1, she is clothed with the sun, with the splendor of the sun. And she has under her feet the moon. And she has a little crown made of 12 stars. Beautiful, beautiful in her purity. Amen? And to top the picture off, we find out that she is pregnant. So, you know, women are beautiful, but when they're pregnant, they're even more beautiful. And somebody's not going to say amen to that. They're like, Pastor, we're done with the pregnancy years. So don't be preaching about that today. Amen? But this was a pregnant woman. So, you know, she has that sheen about her. And you would think that we would continue in the beauty of that imagery, because we're told that she is giving birth to a special son who would end up ruling the nation. That's the paradigm, that's the parable that's being given. And then in comes in this dragon. Verse 3, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's a terrible image. What does it mean? It means, let me demystify it a little bit for you. It means this dragon represents Satan and his agencies. So the primary representation is Satan, and the secondary application is any agent through whom Satan works. And we see here the woman represent God's church, and of course the child is Jesus, who the church gives birth to. So whether the church in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, that's the woman. It's a special relationship with God. Amen. And so we see that the devil tries his very best to ensure that Jesus doesn't come into your world. He isn't born into your world, because Jesus is that seed that no matter where it is planted, if you leave it there, it will grow. It will grow. It will crack through asphalt. Praise God. Amen. It will crack through stone. Amen. It will crack through concrete. It will rust. You know, it will even grow on metal if you just leave it there. A little soil comes and it will grow. Jesus is that seed that the devil tries however best, whether to distract you or to discourage you. He tries to ensure that Jesus never enters into your world. So here it is. I want to skip through because Revelation chapter 12 verse 17, our scripture reading, tells us that the dragon is enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offsprings who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here's a question for today. How is it possible that a woman would have any hope of overcoming a dragon? What's the possibility of that? If you were to go to a WWE wrestling match or a boxing bout, Mayweather Pacquiao bout, who would you be putting your money on? Would it be the dragon or would it be the woman? Come on now. I'm taking bets now in church. Amen. Don't call the conference on me now. I'm taking bets in church. Who's for the dragon? Who's for the dragon? Who you think the dragon is going to win? Obviously, right? Thank you, people who speak the truth. Who thinks the woman is going to win? Gary? Man, you just lost a lot of money. You know that. She stands with God? Okay, don't preach my sermon yet. So here it is. A dragon versus a woman. How does that make sense? You know, how does that make sense? And why would God, writing in his word, give you this image that this is what you're up against? You are like a woman who just gave birth. Very vulnerable. People have to take care of you. Amen. I know that. I've been there before. You have to make sure she has everything, that the air conditioning and the heat is set to her preference, not to yours. Amen. You got to fix breakfast for her and then for yourself. Amen. You got to do all of that. How would that woman stand any chance against a dragon who was able to pull down the stars from heaven? That doesn't make sense. Sounds like you're fighting a losing battle. Have you ever been there before?
Oh, yeah.
Where the odds are stacked against you. Nothing seems to be in your favor. You went to go fight Tiny and you found out that Tiny is a huge dragon.
Right.
Not in your favor. Not today. You're not going to win today. And you think, maybe I just ought to surrender. But you see, the Bible tells us, whenever we're faced with overwhelming obstacles, I believe that God sometimes gives us a preview of overcoming to encourage us with patience in tribulation and faith that can help us to overcome overwhelming odds. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Let's rewind a little bit. So what the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. How is a woman, feeble, frail woman, able to overcome a dragon? How is God's feeble, frail church able to overcome the wiles of the devil? How is that possible? You know, here is what it is. The book of Revelation really is a book about overcoming overwhelming odds. It starts out with letters written to people who are struggling with some real issues now. First, there is a church that's very mature. You know those mature churches, sophisticated churches. They have systems and policies and procedures to deal with everything, but they have grown to be a cold church that the Bible says has lost its first love. But even in that situation, there is hope. And you can overcome that. You know, many people, they can remember the days when they just started out falling in love with Jesus and it felt so sweet. But now everything is so mechanical. Everything is formulaic. Give 10%. Come to church on Saturday or Sunday. You know, very formulaic, robotic, if you please. And we feel as if we have lost that hard connection with God. We don't know how to recover it. Jesus says there is hope. You can overcome. Maybe you're a part of a church that feels like you are a puny church. Are you still with me? Revelation tells us about another church. This is the second church, Smyrna. This is a church that is so small that they don't think that they'll be able to do anything. But Jesus says, even small things with God become mighty things in the hand of God. There is hope. you can overcome. Maybe you're a part of a church that feels persecuted, picked on, paraded before others, and shown your weakness. You know, people keep pointing to your flaws, but Jesus says there is hope. You can overcome. Revelation is a book written to overcomers. How about those who feel as if their faith has been compromised or corrupted or even comatose? Heard the story this week. I don't know how true it is. It was on Facebook, so I guess it must be true. About a boy who was trapped in a coma for so many years. Doctors gave up hope on him. And then he woke up and he was able to recount everything that had happened to him, because he may not have been able to respond, but he could still hear. Do you feel sometimes as if you're trapped in a comatose state physically and spiritually, as if you can hear God, but you can't really respond to him, and you feel as if there is no hope for you? Revelation says there is hope. You can be an overcomer. Even when the odds are stacked against you, you can overcome. In fact, the Bible says there is power to overcome personally, because the Lamb overcame universally. So to defeat the Lamb, it's no secret. To defeat the dragon, we have to learn how to lean on God's Lamb. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 through 6. See, John was told that there was some information that they needed to know. You had to break open a book. Have you ever read a book before and it just didn't make no sense to you? Made no sense. You couldn't make heads or tails of it. Maybe you're in a class and the teacher talked to you and it sounded like you were watching a Peanuts movie. All you heard was wah, 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 wah. That's it. Maybe for this sermon, all you're hearing is wah, 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 too. It's okay. You know. Sometimes things that we think are necessary for us to grow, it doesn't make sense to us. And we want to know it, but it doesn't feel as if we're able to know it. John was brought in vision and saw a scroll that had the secrets to overcoming in life, but nobody was worthy to open it. Verse 5 tells us, verse 4, verse 5 says he started to weep, started to cry in vision because no one was able to read it. But then one of the elders came up to him and said, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome. He has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as if it were slain." We are able to overcome because Jesus overcame. But I want you to notice something for a moment. I want you to notice something, that Jesus, the Lion, overcame as a lamb. Sometimes it's not physical force that gets the victory. You know, in places like China and other places, I'm going to go to China for a minute. You want to journey with me to China? Yeah, you go to China. The most precious thing is information. Government cracks down on information because if people know certain things, then you can't control their behavior, all right? Okay, maybe I went too far. Maybe I need to go to Cuba, all right? I'm going to go down to Cuba. You know, Cuba is beautiful, right? No? Nobody knows? All right. I'm talking to myself today. Cuba is beautiful. And the most precious thing is information, the free flowing information, because if you know some things, then your behavior cannot be controlled. Amen? Amen. can I come to America with that? Or are you guys okay? You know everything, so you're all right. You know. See. The truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us that we are able to overcome because Jesus broke open the scroll, and so we know what life is going to be about, and we know this, that the race is not always to the swift. Amen. Not the spoils to the strong. Amen. We know this. We know that little David defeated giant Goliath. Amen. We know this. And we also know that the dragon will be defeated, not by another dragon, but by a lamb. I tell you this. You can have an unbeatable team in whatever sport. Think of any sport, whatever sport. You thought of a sport? Football? Amen. You can have an unbeatable team. The best quarterback ever. Amen. Right. Who did you think of? Brett. Wrong answer. Amen. All right. The correct answer is number 12. I won't go any further than that. You can have the best quarterback ever and still be defeated. Because if people understand the history and they understand the prophecy, the past and the prophecy, then they will know how to defeat what seems like it cannot be defeated. Did you know that? I'm going to go into it a little bit. Here is it. Let's go over a little bit. See, because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 10, that the dragon looks like it's unbeatable. Satan looks unbeatable. Thank you very much. Even the Bible says, even when you wound Satan, he still wins. Did you catch that? Even when you throw him out, Jesus said it. You cast out a demon out of your life. Now your life is clean. You made a change, right? You made a change. You're doing good. Everything seems good. And guess what happens? The house is clean but empty. So that demon that you cast out went back for 7 of his friends and comes back. And now your situation is worse than before. Anybody ever been there before? Even when you wound the devil, it seems as if he still wins. That's what Revelation chapter 13 verse 3 says. And then people who understand the power of Satan says, you know what? You can't fight him, so just give up. And that's why he had the audacity to come to Jesus and to say, I control all the kingdoms of the world, Matthew chapter 4. And if you just give up, give in to me, then whatever you want, that's what I'll give to you. And people are fooled. They think there's no way I can fight him, so I might as well just go along with it. In fact, the devil sometimes is even successful, seems successful, blaspheming against God. So the devil is like a kid. I love the Walmart analogy, Larry. It's like a kid, a brat. Can I say brat? A brat in Walmart. Talking to their parents. You got the picture, right? Parents so big. And this brat is like, no, 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 no. You going to give it to me now? That's the other word. You know that? The other word, now. And you're like, how is this happening? Like, how is this happening? Well, that's because maybe I'll go into prophecy a little bit. See, God gives a certain time. Amen. And then in heaven, away, far away from the prying eyes of earth, there is a judgment that is intervened. Amen. That judgment is called. So when you move from that place, that ordinary place, to the most holy place, it's a sanctuary far away from prying eyes, then there's a judgment, and the brat will be judged. I mean, the devil will be judged. I mean, Satan will be judged. You understand where I'm going there? Yeah, so in public, it looks as if the devil can just undress God. Who is God? He is nothing. He's nobody. He doesn't take care of you. Why are you serving him and you're still suffering? And he undresses God publicly, but God has a time when he will judge. Right. Bible says, no wonder Saints and sinners stand no chance against the dragon. That's what verse 7 and verse 8 of Revelation 13 says. But in the midst of that, there comes a word. You ready for the word? Revelation chapter 13, verse 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Whenever you hear scripture uses that, it means that's kind of like an amber light. It means slow down, pay attention. Why? Because I'm about to say something, and if you're not listening, you will miss what I'm about to say. You ready for what scripture is about to say? The unbeatable dragon, right? Here's what the Bible says. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. What? He who kills with the sword shall be killed, must be killed with what? He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And then it says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Here it is. The Bible says, what seems unbeatable, Revelation pulls back the curtain and tells us that in God's time, there will be a great reversal. But you have to have two things. One, patience. And the other thing is faith. You know, people exalt themselves above you, right? Mm-hmm. Right? No, I should talk to myself. Nobody does that to you, right? People exalt themselves because they're in a position of power over you. And Jamaicans would say they have the handle and you have the blade. You see that? You're in a vulnerable spot. You are like a pregnant woman, vulnerable. And they're like an undefeatable dragon. And you have to be careful how you respond to them. They think, amen, because they have all the power over you. But the Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity will be led into captivity. How does that happen? How does that reversal happen? Back to the solution in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And then we're done. You ready for it? Three things. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, number one, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. When you're faced with your dragons, whatever dragon it may be, whatever Satan uses to make you feel like a loser, as if you can't win, you just tell him, let's go look back at Calvary.
That's right.
You remember Calvary? When you thought you defeated Jesus, and then he rose from the dead, and broke the hold that you had over death. Because most of us are scared to do anything against the devil. Because we fear death. We fear our bodies disintegrating. We fear all of these things to do with our mortality. And then Jesus rose up and said, I have the keys to both death and hell. I am the resurrection and the life. And he broke our fear of death. We're not afraid of death anymore. Why? Because of what Jesus did at Calvary. If Jesus can raise himself from the dead, then what can he do for you? He has resurrection power. Then number two, it says, they overcame him by the word of their testimony. You know, testimony here is a shorthand for prophecy. So you got to look back at the past to see what Jesus did, but you also have to be aware of what Jesus will do. Hope is like a sandwich with two different breads. I mean, in the middle may be messy, but the bread on either end is what God has done. Amen. And what God will do, it doesn't matter what you put in the middle, what you're going through in the middle. If you have an idea of what God did and what he will do, you can have hope in any situation. Right. So what will God do? Here it is. Here it is. When we look at prophecy here, we see that no matter how weak we may seem now, we still win.
So what the Bible says, Revelation 15, verse 2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And the Bible tells us that there were so many people there, you couldn't even number it. You know why? Because when dictators fall and people begin to understand and see for themselves and know for themselves that God is real, and this thing, that the dominion that the devil had over you, he can't have that over you anymore. You've broken free of it. Then guess what? The floodgates open up. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the prophecy. The prophecy is Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 and verse 17. They shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more, nor the sun strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. Jesus is leading you out of bondage, out of the dominion of the devil, and into his marvelous light. And the devil whispers in your ear, you know you're not going to be able to beat smoking or pornography or adultery or greed or whatever the situation that you may be trapped in. Just whisper to him, I know what happened to you. Amen. I know what happened to you. And guess what? I know what's going to happen to you. Amen. Amen. All right. I know what happened to you. And I know what's going to happen to you. So you don't tell me what I can or can't do. I can do all things. Amen. Through Christ who strengthens me. Secret to defeating our dragons is leaning on the Lamb. Understanding what Jesus did and understanding what Jesus will do. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 doesn't end there. I wish I could end it there. I wish I could. Amen. I wish I could, but it doesn't. See, you got to look at Calvary and look at prophecy, but now you also have to look at your own personal integrity. Let me drink my water. Thank you, Shelley. Here's what the Bible says. They loved not their lives to the death. When you think about what Jesus did and what he's going to do, the only thing that stops you from being victorious is when we make compromises. Amen? Can we be real today? That's it. It's when we make compromises. And I could say it from this, like, I wish I was sitting, I'm sitting with you now. Amen? Right. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you today. Amen? The only reason why we, first person plural, all of us, amen? Right. All of us, so don't be looking down on anybody. Don't say pastor, preach it to them. Amen? All of us, the only reason why all of us, any of us, one of us, two of us, all of us, black or white, young or old, rich or poor, knowledgeable in scripture, ignorant of scripture, the only reason why any one of us doesn't have total victory is the compromises that we make. Leave you with the scripture. Because Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 says, they loved not their lives to the death. It means they understood. When you understand what Jesus has done for you and what he's going to do for you, then when the devil, this big bad dragon, comes to you and you're a puny little thing, you say, well, take it. Take my life, because you can't take my future with God.
You don't compromise. Here it is. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. I found this very, very powerful. These will make war with the Lamb. So those are the forces of the devil that fight with the Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them before he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And here is the important part for us today. The challenge for us today. We know what Jesus did. We know that what Jesus will do. Here is what the Bible says. And those who are with him are three things. Called. Do you hear God's voice today?
Amen.
You hear his voice. Amen. They are called. They are chosen. Do you know that he's calling you to do something specific? Do you hear it? He who has an ear, let him hear. Can you hear it? When you hear it, do you quench it? Do you quiet your own voice? Do you know how to hear God's voice separate from another voice? And then the last thing, faithful. Do you have the integrity to walk consistently with Jesus?
Amen.
How do you overcome the dragons in your life? That's it. I wish I could give you something that, the easy remedy. And it is easy because Jesus did it.
Right.
He did. But now you have to war with him. Work with him. Walk with him. And to walk with him, you got to hear him. You must follow him. And you must be faithful to him. In the end, this woman will make it to heaven. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that the dragon, that big dude, he'll be chained. He will be chained. He's going to be chained. God will do it for 1,000 years. God will do it. And the dragon will be defeated. So when Satan whispers his lies in your ears, just remember and remind yourself, remind him, you've been defeated. You will be defeated. And as small as I am, as overwhelming as the odds are, with God on my side, one woman with God is a majority.
That's right.
One woman with God is a majority. Maybe I should talk to the women today. You know that. One woman with God is a majority. Let's pray. Father God, many are the temptations we have daily to give up because it looks as if we cannot win. We've been beaten up, we've been bruised, we've been pushed around. Lord, many times we feel like just giving in, following the world. But today we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen.
So Lord, we thank you for what you did on Calvary. You went all the way for me. That's why Revelation erupts with praise. We know we focus on 12 and 13 where the dragon is prominent. But all throughout the book there is praise to the Lamb who overcame. We thank you for you overcame. You showed us that reversal that gives us hope. That helps us to know that those who are with us are more than those who are against us. And so even in these last days, we can stand with integrity because of Calvary and because of the sure word of prophecy. So today we stand on these foundations. May this be our hope. May this be our prayer. May this be our aim. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.